just for women. Listen to Mrs. Waite speak from her heart to your need. Pause a moment and care. Just for Women is an unusual broadcast for women in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Yvonne Waite deals biblically with the many issues facing women today. The Bible tells the older women to speak the things which become sound doctrine, and teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the Word of God be not blasphemed. Listen now to Mrs. Waite speaking just for women.
Hi, everybody. This is Mrs. Waite talking to you. I'm going to read something that William J. Murray wrote. You may not know who he is, but he's the son of the woman who took prayer out of the schools, Madeline Murray O'Hare. His article is called School Carnage: Blame Church, Not Guns or God. William J. Murray is the chairman of the Washington, D.C.-based Religious Freedom Coalition and the author of 7 books, including My Life Without God, which chronicles his early life in the home of destructive atheist and Marxist leader Madeline Murray O'Hare. Having lived the Marxist and the Ayn Rand lifestyle, he has a unique perspective on religion and politics. Now, this is what he said. If an individual is not afraid of the wrath of God, it is impossible to cause him to fear the justice of the state. The killing of young children at their school will be linked by many pundits to the availability of guns. Still others will blame the violent acts on some pathway of childhood trauma. Some may even blame the Hollywood culture with this disregard for humanity on which human bodies are seen being dissected nightly on network TV. Virtually no one can call what occurred in Newtown an act of evil. No one will call it that, but we might. Probably not a single sermon will be preached in which the perpetrator is predicted to have begun his eternal punishment for his crime after judgment by a just and angry God. A splintered American church driven by pew-hungry, feel-good messages will offer assurances that eternal peace awaits all those who died, including the shooter. The word hell and sin will very likely not be used in any sermons associated with the massacre. Yes, there is social blame. Ridiculous privacy rules that allow the mentally ill to conceal their condition from schools, employers, and gun shop owners is just one. The constant esteem building in public schools, teaching even low-functioning kids with anger problems to judge themselves equal to the valedictorian, is yet another. But the greatest villain is a church that has accepted the world's view that hell does not await evildoers. With a weak message from a weak church, there is no restraint on lessening of the violence. The shooting at Newtown was immediately followed by the shooting at a Birmingham, Alabama hospital and a Las Vegas hotel. Across the country, there are more than 16,000 murders each year. Of those, 2/3 are committed with guns. 1 in 3 murders is a very personal, vile act of evil using a knife, a blunt instrument, or bare hands. And the response of the church to this violence is, God loves you, have a nice day. Adam Lanza had to shoot his way into the locked building. Public schools are not the soft targets many think they are. In more populated areas, there is virtually always an armed safety officer on duty because of the threat of student violence. Why? My mother, my mother, atheist Madeline Murray O'Hara, fought to make the public schools the armed camps they are today by removing prayer, the recognition of the authority of God. In 1962 and 1963, I was attending an all-boys public high school in downtown Baltimore, Maryland. The school was a magnet school before the term even existed and was intended to prepare young men for college, majoring in science and engineering. There are 1,800 teenage boys in the school, and there was not a cop in the building, ever. The doors were unlocked, and often the unair-conditioned rooms had open windows. There were no metal detectors, no picture IDs, and students went in and out of the doors on the honor system. The authority of God was present, even though I am very sure many of those young men, including myself, had some pretty vile thoughts that were not in the least way moral. The presence of the authority of God vested in the teachers by his recognition every morning was reinforced by the churches and the families of the students. That high school had since merged with girls' school in another location for purposes of political correctness. The last time I checked, the old building itself was the headquarters of the Baltimore City School Police Force, something that did not exist when Baltimore population was nearly double. But it is now. Every kid at every school now has a photo ID. All the doors of every school are locked. All doors have metal detectors and drug-sniffing dogs roaming the corridors. I am told that every school in Baltimore has at least one armed safety officer. In the vast majority of American public schools, the authority of God has been replaced with the authority of the iron fist of government. Morals? Without the authority of God, there are no morals, and none are taught in the public school today. The ethics that are taught are situational, perhaps the same situational ethics that led to the logic that caused the tragic shootings in Newtown, Connecticut. This condition exists in the schools and the society in general because of a failed church that is splintered and weak. A large advertising sign near my home reads, quote, "A church for those who don't like church," end quotation. Translation, "No condemnation of sin here. We have coffee, latte, and great music." How about this politely incorrect sermon subject? Quote, "An angry God condemns the carnal sin of Adam Lanza, the Newton school shooter who killed 26, and he will rot in eternal torment in hell, as do all those who turn their backs on God and his goodness and continue their wicked and sinful ways." No such sermon title in America. No way. No how in America today. No number of gun control laws can contain the evil that has been let loose in America. Not even black-clad police with masks and automatic weapons can maintain social order in our out-of-control society. The nation needs a religious revival to steer it away from certain moral destructions. That revival will not come from feel-good coffeehouse sermons that do not call sin what it is. What are preachers today offering to save people from sin is never mentioned. What punishment are they being saved from it if hell is never mentioned? The fear of an angry and vengeful God was far more likely to have stopped the shootings in Newtown than the warm voice of a psychologist or the soothing feelings of drugs. Eternity in hell is a very long time. One of the greatest revival sermons of all time was that of Jonathan Edwards, "Sinners in the Hand of an Angry God." Can you imagine even this one portion being repeated in a church of America today? Quote, "There is no want of power in God to cast wicked men into hell at any moment. Men's hands cannot be strong when God rises up. The strongest have no power to resist him, nor can any deliver out of his hands. He is not only able to cast wicked men into hell, but he can most easily do it." End quote. God is not in the business of saving evil nations from themselves, but he is in the business of offering salvation to individuals. A nation is saved from ruin when enough of its people turn from their wicked ways and follow his righteous commands. The challenge is to the churches of every denomination to preach the true word of God, the nature of sin, and the consequences of perpetuating evil. This alone can turn the society from its violent and destructive path. Wasn't this some kind of something that was written by this Madeline Murray O'Hare's son? He was raised an atheist. His name is William J. Murray. He was raised an atheist. He was raised to live the Marxist and Ayn Rand lifestyle. But God got a hold of his life. The Holy Spirit worked in his life, and he became a Christian. He accepted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior, and he was saved. And he changed. He could not change his mother, but he could change his mother's message to you and to me and to others. And he tells it like it is when it comes to that terrible slaughter that we all saw about on television this past week. Now, when you hear this message, it won't be this past week because these programs are always a little delayed. I wish they weren't. I wish that I could talk right directly to you as it happens. But I am not one of those high-paid people that can be on news that comes into your home all the time. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, no, but that the world through him, Jesus Christ, might be saved. He or she that believeth on him, Jesus, is not condemned. But he or she that believeth not is condemned already, because he or she hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men and women and boys and girls love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, and that they are wrought in God. What powerful, powerful words from the mouth of Jesus Christ. Jesus spoke those words. He spoke them to Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a very busy businessman, and he came to see Jesus by night. He may not have been afraid. He may just not have had any more time on his schedule except to sneak over and see Jesus at night. And he was concerned. Jesus said, except you be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said in chapter 3, verse 4, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, Nicodemus. And by extension, he says it unto you, you right there, Mary, Judy, Samantha, you, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man or woman be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Except you're born the first time, the water comes, you know, the water when you're born, the baby comes out with the water from the birth. And the Spirit means the Holy Spirit. Unless you're born the first time, the normal way, unless you're born through Jesus Christ and believing on him that you're a sinner and that Jesus died for you and he gave his life at Calvary, that whosoever believeth in him might be saved, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. This is very interesting here. Jesus is talking to Nicodemus personally. But when he talks about people being born again, he says ye means everybody. When it's ye and you, it means everybody. I hear my theme music. Consider this. Except a man be born again, except a woman be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. I'm under God's care. Are you?
You have been listening to Just for Women with Yvonne Waite, sponsored by the Bible for Today Baptist Church in Collingswood, New Jersey. We invite you to visit our church Sundays at 10 a.m. and Thursdays at 8 p.m. If you need more information about our church, our broadcast, or our Savior, please call us toll-free, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Email bft@bibleforttoday.org. The organist and pianist is Mr. Dick Carroll. Your announcer has been Dr. D.A. Waite, pastor of the Bible for Today Baptist Church. We invite all you ladies to join us next week, same time, same station, to hear Yvonne Waite and Just for Women.
Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man or woman be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God.